talk for a few minutes and we'll go to scripture here. But God's favor is upon us. God's favor is upon us. And the love of God is a real revelation, praise God. And Paul said to the Galatians that faith only works by love. And so you're able to have faith in God because he loves you and he loves us. And we have a right understanding of who he is. And God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. Praise God. I'm thankful that I have a sound mind this morning. And I thank God that I can worship him in spirit and in truth. Praise God. Today, God has given us a word. Amen. And today's going to be a good day for somebody and a bad day for the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. Today is going to be a good day for somebody and a bad day for the devil. I'll say it again. Today's going to be a good day for someone and a bad day for the devil, because he is a liar. Whatever you choose to call him, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you describe him as, amen, he can only work through lies and deception. Behind every fear, there is a great treasure.
Amen.
Amen. I'll say it again. Behind every fear, there is a great treasure. That's why the devil tries to use fear so freely in our lives, because he doesn't want us to get the treasure. He's trying to block you to get what God has for you, which is a treasure. And so he tries to use fear to, amen, to paralyze us from moving forward. But the devil is a liar, and that's what I've come to say, because John 8:44 says there is no truth in him. He is a liar and the father of it. The Amplified says he is the father of all that is false. In other words, if something is opposed to what the Word of God says, it's from the devil. You need to cast it down because it's a lie and it's false evidence appearing real, which is fear. Satan is the deceiver of the whole world, Revelation 12:9 says. So someone is walking out of here today different than you walked in. Amen. I believe you can walk away free from a lie that you believed about God or yourself or the things of God, a deception that you've carried around, who you are to God and who you are in God, just how much he loves you. That needs to be clarified today. I'm telling somebody and reaffirming to you, God wants you to know who you are to God and who you are in God and how much you mean to him. The devil is a liar, and he tells you you're less than that to God, that you don't matter to God, that you're not valuable to God. But I'm here to say to you today, God says you are valuable to him. God says he intends to let you know that he loves you, and he loved you enough to go to the cross and to give himself for you. Offense only comes when we believe someone or the devil over what God says. An offense is more than just having your feelings hurt. Offense is anything that causes you to stumble in your walk with God. To offend means to stumble, to trip up. And that's what the enemy tries to do with his lies, is cause us to stumble or lose cadence. And I believe it's all part of God's great awakening, amen, that he is sending to the church first. And to the church is to realize who you are in God and who you are to God. Sending an impartation. Expressed and experienced love of God, a revelation of what love is, true love. This world doesn't understand love. It's one of the most overused words. Amen. How can you love bacon? You can have a very strong like for bacon. Oh, I love those shoes. Really? You love those shoes. They can't do anything for you. They've never done anything for you. You like those shoes, but you don't love those shoes. They get worn out, you throw them away and get a new pair of shoes that you love. You see what I'm saying? It's kind of a humorous example, but we love a lot of things that we really don't love. Amen. I want the Lord to know I'm open to His love today. And His love, I believe, is going to overwhelm somebody today. And when you realize how much He loves you, He's going to flood your spirit today and cover you up with His love and inundate you with love and pour it onto you, pour it out on you. And there's a chapter in the Word of God that is given to describing the various kinds of love that God displays. It's Luke chapter 15, and I want to invite our attention there. Luke chapter 15. Jesus was being criticized by the publicans and sinners because they said that this man receives sinners and eats with them. You see, they were criticizing Jesus' love. They were criticizing how Jesus was expressing His love. Jesus was not condoning sin. He would never condone the lifestyle of sin. But He would love somebody enough to let them know He loves them in spite of their sin. Amen. Never get confused today. The Lord is not intimidated by somebody who would criticize Him for loving us. Verse 2 says, the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And He spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost until he find it? Say, until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing, not scolding, not whipping, not showing disapproval. But he was rejoicing because that which was lost is now found. That which was wandering is now riding on his shoulders. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise there shall be joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Amen. We baptized a gentleman this morning. Amen. He was moved on by God. He responded to the Lord. And I've got news for you, that one man created a party in heaven, amen, a rejoicing around the throne of God. It's not just hyperbole. It's not just a story. It's the reality that one person can set heaven on a party mode. If you're here today, amen, and you need to repent, just repent. So many people are robbed from what God has for them because they're intimidated by what people might think. I've got news for you. As long as Jesus is the one looking for me, and as long as He's approving of me, as long as I'm sitting on His shoulders, I'm going to be okay. Hallelujah. Praise God. 99, I'm not going to take the time to count out 100 people here, but these two sections stand up. These two sections just stand up real quick. Amen. Brother Cologne, just sit down. Now look, 100 sheep, one sheep that's wandered away. Hard to even notice they're gone. Right? We're just thinking, whoa, look at the 99, praise God. And we do. But I'll tell you where the focus of Jesus is. Jesus is like, oh no, Where's Brother Cologne? Yes. Where's Brother Cologne? You seen Brother Cologne? Where's Brother Cologne? Where's Brother Cologne? I haven't seen Brother Cologne. There's Brother Cologne. Come on, Brother Cologne. Come on out here. I'm not going to put him on my shoulders. But this is Brother Cologne. Oh, God. Oh, the shepherd is saying, hey, I found Brother Cologne. He was wandering. He was a little bit displaced. He had lost his way, but I found him. Rejoice with me. I found Brother Cologne. I found him that was lost. I've redeemed him. I've got him on my shoulders, and now all of heaven is rejoicing. Thank you. Amen. We need to rejoice over the one that Jesus puts on his shoulders and brings back into the fold. Amen. Can I tell somebody in the house, he's looking for that one today. He doesn't care why you left. He knows you just wandered away. You got a little bit careless. You got a little bit disoriented. Amen. You wandered away. You didn't want to wander away. You just did wander away. But the Lord says, I don't care about that. I've been looking for you. I've been on a mission to find you. I've been on a mission to get you, to put you around my shoulders so that I can rejoice. He said, rejoice with me. I have found the one that wandered away. Hallelujah. Oh, he's looking for the wandering sheep today. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she shall lose one piece, doth not light a candle. This is pre-AEP. Light a candle and get a broom out. It says that she sought diligently, swept the house and turned on the candle and began to look in the corners and look in the crevices and look under furniture and say, I had 10 pieces of silver, but there's one missing. I don't know where that coin is, and I'm not going to rest until I found it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends, sound familiar, and her neighbors together, saying, hey, amen, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there shall be joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. Same song, second verse. Amen. He said, I've got news for you. I rejoice over the one that was lost in the house. Amen. I don't know if you're going to receive this or not, but I believe that there's such a condition you can get into where you come into the house, but everything's not quite right in the heart. This is a parable that tells us, you know what? We can relate to the wandering sheep. We can relate to somebody that gets distracted and gets displaced. But what about the people that are coming and sitting on the pews? We can get offended. We can get hurt. We can get wounded. We can get displaced. We can show up, but we don't have joy. We can show up, but our mind is a million miles away from God. We're in the house, but we're displaced. But thank God, the Lord says, I sweep my house. I turn on the light, and I look, and there you go, right there. Right in the house. I wondered why you didn't take it and put it in the offering, brother, but hey, it was lost in the house. Sometimes you can be in plain sight, but lost. People can shake your hand, but your mind is not right with God. I can clap my hands and go through the motion, but my heart's not in the right place with God. And the Lord says, good news. I'm not here to shame anybody today. I'm just here to tell you it's possible to be lost in the house. I'm here to tell you it's possible to be a coin, a silver coin. You know what? Who knows the life of a coin? Isn't it amazing? You ever thought about the life of money in a coin? Amen. Those dollars you give in the offering, they've been to bars. They've been to the casino. They've been to the strip club. They've been to Kroger's. They've been to BP. It's been everywhere. That's like some of us. Amen. We can be damaged coins. We can be used coins. We can be coins that are defaced. We've lost our identity. But that doesn't matter, because there's still value to that coin. It's still made out of silver. And Jesus looks at our life and he says, they got some marks on them. They got some damage to them. But they're still valuable, because they're still made in my image. I'm still going to look for them. I'm still going to restore them, because I don't care about the marks on their coin. I just care about their value. I'm telling somebody in the Holy Ghost today, you are valuable to God. He just sent me along with a broom and a light and said, hey, I'm God's man looking for somebody. In the house, but lost. In the house, but found. And finally, he said in verse 11, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, I want my portion of goods that falleth to me. In other words, give me my inheritance. He divided unto them his living. Both sons got it. Many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. This one differs from the first two. The first two, I don't believe, had ill intent. They were just lost by events that happened in their life. This third one, he decided to leave God. He decided to walk away from God. That's you see, where the will gets involved. When somebody decides to walk away, amen, there's not much you can do, amen. You can sweep, you can look, you can follow, but that person's going to go, amen, to a place of depths. And even the father didn't leave the house to look for this one, because the will was involved, and the father can't even override somebody's will. Went into a far country and wasted his living. Verse 14, and when he had spent all, and that's what sin will do. You will spend all. There arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. I guarantee you that this son never envisioned this part of the picture. Because deception is part of sin. He thought, I've got everything made. I've got money. I've got my father's name. He was obviously wealthy. But what he did not calculate was the price associated with his choice. He joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Isn't that a picture of the world? I just want what I can get out of you, but when you're out, you're out. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants at my father's have bread enough to spare? Think of that. They're in a famine. But the father was so wealthy that his servants ate 3 square meals a day and still had more. Still had leftovers. And he said, but I perish with hunger. I'm going to rise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. No more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no worthy to be called thy son. Amen. Listen, the father was so anxious to see him and so filled with love for him, he ruined a perfectly good rehearsed repentance prayer. You might have walked in here today thinking, I'm going to go to the Lord and beg him to bring me back and take me back. I messed up so bad. I don't know how he'll ever forgive me or how he'll ever, cover my sin. Amen. But God's going to interrupt somebody today. I believe in the Holy Ghost. You're going to come up here and say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. And the Lord says, stop right there. Get the fatted calf. Get the robe. Get the ring. Get shoes. Amen. My son, which was lost, is found. Amen. We're going to have a party around here. Good enough. You've said enough, son. Thank you for coming back home. I couldn't go get you because you had to decide. You had to do an about face. You had to realize where you were. And when you did, it motivated you to come home. And now I can put, amen, more wealth on you because I know you won't waste it this time. I'm going to put, amen, a robe on you. I'm going to change your identity. The robe was to cover up all the nasty clothes. He didn't say, go take a shower. He didn't say, go get all cleaned up. No, he said, right there in that hog pen mess slop, that stench that he had on him, the father said, bring me the best robe. Amen. Put on him, amen, a new identity. Put on him and cover up his shame. Cover up what was wasted. Cover up what doesn't look good. Cover up what stinks. Cover up what looks nasty. Friend, we got stuff in here that just would look nasty. We got stuff in here that is dirty and stinky and torn and tattered, amen, and it speaks of wasting opportunity. But God says, no, amen, give me a robe. He's going to put a robe on somebody today and cover up identity, cover up wasted years, cover up opportunities lost. And he says, hey, by the way, put a ring on his hand. I'm going to give him back purchasing power. It's not just a little inheritance. I'm going to give him my ring, and whatever he stamps will be paid for because he's got my redemptive power. I love him and I trust him, and I'm going to restore him back to complete wealth. I hope somebody can hear me today. The Holy Ghost is saying, I don't care what you've spent and what you've wasted. If you'll repent, I'll give it all back to you and multiply it then some. Gifts of God and callings are without repentance. If you're a son, you're a son. If you bear his name, you bear his name. You think you can undo the love of God with a few careless acts? Don't believe that lie. Yes, amen. Sin has consequences, and yes, you do have to reap what you sow, but God is able to restore. God is able to cover. God is able to put his name on you. Amen. Put his ring on you. Put new shoes on you. Cause you to walk different. That's what that was all about. He didn't have shoes. Yes. Amen. I'm sure his feet were hurting. Yes. But the father said, bring sandals and put on him. Why would he even care about sandals? Because it was a type, amen, of showing us that I'm going to take your wandering, wasting ways away from you, and I'm going to give your life purpose, direction, amen, and fulfillment. Amen. And so he puts shoes on our feet to show us that he's got better places for us to go. What a God. I'll just mention it quickly. And the love, the older brother didn't take too kindly to what was going on. He was out in the field working, And he comes home, and he's starting to head home from the day's work, and he hears a party going on at the house, and he's like, what's going on at the house? And they said, haven't you heard? Your brother's come home, and your father's thrown a party, and he got this bad attitude. So the father had to deal with that and say this, hey, let me tell you something. I love you so much. You've had it all at your disposal the whole time. You've never been a day without my provision. You've never been a day without my love. Instead of getting sideways with your brother and the celebration with your brother, why don't you begin to rejoice and thank God you've never had to leave the house? Why don't you thank God you've never wasted your inheritance? I wish somebody in the house would thank God that if you haven't left the house, you need to rejoice that God has loved you and kept you from wasting your inheritance. He said there's rejoicing in all of heaven because of these. Amen. If you'll notice, it didn't matter if it was 100 sheep, 10 coins, or 2 sons. Amen. The result was the same. One soul, amen, caused a party in heaven, and one soul caused a rejoicing. Amen. Thank God. Amen. I don't know who you are here today, but if somebody will just come to the Lord and say, hey, God, I love you, and I want to thank you for loving me. Amen. I want to thank you for putting me on your shoulders. I want to thank you, Lord, for sweeping the house diligently when I was in a bad mindset, when I was in a bad way. Your mercy found me. Your love cared enough to reach for me in spite of the imperfections. And Lord, when I was just flat out self-willed, but I've come to myself, I noticed that even people that aren't lifers in the church are living better than me because they're in your presence every day. They're in your house, and they're eating good meals, and you're taking care of them. Rejoicing. God wants to help somebody's identity today. He wants to undo lies. I rebuke lies today. Deception. Deception. Lies and deception. Let truth come. Let light shine. Let love break through. There's no way you can see the love of God and not be changed by it. He was a great way off. I thought this was interesting that the Bible says that when he saw him coming, we would think that he might be disappointed, have his arms crossed, shaking his head, saying, son, I told you not to go there. But that's not the picture I see. I see a father running. Yeah. And the Bible says he fell on his neck. Yeah. Yes. Do you realize that everything in the Word of God is not, it's on purpose. Yeah. He fell on his neck. Amen. Boy, if I feel like we could be transparent enough, I'd ask if there's anybody in the house that feels like you've messed up. I need a man. Come on up here. Not behind you. I'm sorry, Eric. Yeah. Zach, come on. It's going to get a little crazy in here, all right? Zach, you got good insurance? Bible says that when the father saw him coming, he didn't wait on him to get to the porch. The Bible says he ran. And it literally means he fell on him. I'm not going to do that to Zach. He loved him so much that he couldn't contain himself, is what he was saying. I'm not just going to give you one of these little, oh, so glad you're home. No, he fell on him. He hugged him and took him down to the ground. Amen. And he fell on him. It literally means he embraced him. He seized him. He knocked him over. He fell onto and laid on him. Aren't you glad I'm not doing that? Thank you. But that's what the level of expression that the Father showed his Son when he came home. He knocked him over with his love. I wish I could do it justice today, but God wants to so overwhelm somebody today that you're knocked over by the love of God. That somebody, you've been running a while, but God has brought you to the house. It's not an accident today. The Lord is saying, I'm going to knock you over with my love. I'm going to fall on you today with my love. I've been thinking about you today. It wasn't a day that passed, I don't believe, that the Father didn't go out and at least look for him, but this day was different. It wasn't just a blank road, amen, as far as you could see. It was a road with a son walking back, probably with his shoulders stooped over and with his head bowed in shame. But when the Father saw him, amen, he beat feet to get to his son, amen, and left a dust trail to say, hey, I've been looking for you. I've been waiting on you. And he fell on him and showed him love like he had never known before. Yeah, it was natural for him to give him an inheritance and show love, but when he wasted it, it went from natural love to agape. God love. No conditions. No performance-based. I've been good, so now God can love me. Dismiss that, friend. I got news for you. He's loved us at our lowest point. He's loved us at our weakest moments. And he's willing to risk it all on us without return of anything. You see, that same word, epipipto is what it's called. And when it says he fell on him, fell means epipipto, which is all those descriptions I used. But in Acts chapter 10, verse 44, the same word is used when it's describing what happened with Peter when he preached to them. And it says, while Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word, not just for a wandering sheep or lost coins or prodigals, but everyone in the house. This happened to in Acts 10. They were knocked over. They were embraced by the love of God. They were seized by the love of God. They were seized by the Spirit of God. I believe the Holy Ghost is in the house today, and he wants to fall on us. He wants to fall on you. He wants to fall on every person here. He wants you to know that he loves you beyond any kind of comprehension that you have. Musicians, you can come. Why don't we just stand? The house is filled with situations that God wants to express his love upon today. It could be a wandering sheep in the house that the Lord's been out looking for, and he's brought you back on his shoulders. He's ready to throw a party. Could be a coin that's been in the house, never left the house, but you're in the house. But something has displaced you. Something has obscured you. Something has caused you to be lost in the house. But the love of God has searched the house today. Swept it. He's turned the light on. He said, here it is. Here they are. Amen. Marks and all. Amen. Oh, marks and all. Yes. Is anybody with some marks in the house? Amen. Or we got all perfect people here today? Amen. We got all newly minted coins in the house today? Or do we have some coins that have some marks on them? The face isn't quite as legible as it once used to be. Been used and worn, but we're still in the house. could be a son, a daughter, who made a choice to walk away from God. But God says, oh, today, I saw you walking, I saw you driving in the driveway. And I met you as soon as you turned off the road. And I threw my arms around you. Because I said, today is the day my son has come home. Anybody in the house today that God can express his love on? Maybe you're just in the house. God still wants to put love on you. Because we have a lot of misconceptions about love. Love that's conditional. Love if I perform right. Love if I do the right thing and don't do the wrong thing. Love, love, love. But it's not God's kind of love. Because it doesn't cause rejoicing. It causes shame. I'm talking about love is in the house. That's going to cause rejoicing in somebody's situation. I did this first service. I'm going to do it again. I want to open this altar up for all of us to come. But there are people specifically that God has talked to today. Maybe you're a sheep. Maybe you're a coin. Maybe you're a son. I want you to come and let the Lord love you. Like you haven't been loved for a while. What are you talking about, love like I haven't been loved? Hug. A love from God that no one's opinion can undo. No event is greater than the love of God. No failure is greater than the love of God. We're going to sing about it, but I want you to just begin to reach out to the Lord. Amen. You're going to have to throw off shame and throw off all the stuff. And God's already, amen, he's going to ruin your repentance party because you're going to get a line out and say, God, I'm sorry. I've disappointed you. I haven't been what I should be. And God's going to say, hey, get the calf. Get the robe. Get the ring. Get the shoes. Things are about to change.